Thanks. All right, our next guest, we saw her there last night with her deputy dog. Of course, I'm talking about Royal Blend. Of course, I'm talking about the Home Defense Foundation Candidate Forum, where we had 14 candidates with us, and one of them is joining us right now on the Ringside Politics Hotline. Janet Hayes is with us, candidate for Sheriff of Orleans Parish. And hey, Janet, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I'm doing well. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us. If you could, Janet, tell our listeners a little bit about your background.
Yeah, sure. Well, most listeners of your listeners anyway would probably know me from the charity hospital fight. You'll remember at one point we were trying to get the state and the board of or LSU board of supervisors to put their new their proposal to build a new hospital in the shell of the old building, as it would have been more cost effective and faster to return healthcare to the community. You'll also recall that the LSU and the state were trying to fleece the government out of $500 million at the time by promoting charity as the hospital is 51% damaged in order to get FEMA to buy them a new hospital. Anyway, they got away with that, and so they did build a new hospital. But as a consequence of charity's closure, we saw a huge uptick in the problem of people with serious mental illnesses being channeled right into the criminal justice system, homelessness, and you know, really repeated revolving doors of acute care, hospital stays, and death. And so my background really is, to be honest, I came to New Orleans as a recording engineer more than 20 years ago. And it was after Katrina that I got involved in helping families and communities restore their neighborhoods, yeah, and, you know, be justice advocacy work to,
yeah,
you know,
I mean, you're real,
a lot of government corruption.
You're a real community activist, and you've worked hard in many different projects, and, you know, your heart's in the right place to help the city of New Orleans. And now, I mean, your charity hospital fight, I thought, was a very good one, and I supported you on that. I had you on this program,
yeah,
and, you know, you really, unfortunately, were pretty much ignored by the powers that be, weren't you?
Yeah. And, you know, not just you, there were a number of folks who supported us. I think the probably the majority of the people in New Orleans, and we had support from John Kennedy at the time and David Vitter. You know, we all worked really hard to convince the state that, you know, what they were trying to do was going to cost lives, essentially, and taxpayer, you know, unnecessary taxpayer dollars. So, and there's a documentary about it, Big Charity, that documents, you know, the whole history behind the push to destroy a historic neighborhood in order to build a new hospital. These are crimes that were committed. You know, the former CEO of Charity says in the documentary when he's asked, but, you know, what about the lives? And he said, well, you know, yes, some people will die, but it's worth it. It'll be worth it in the end. You know, this kind of attitude was just too much. You know, it's just really tragic and too heartbreaking for me, who has, you know, resources and ability to bring my voice to the table and people's voice to the table, to sit back and do nothing about it. And, you know, I'm just that kind of person. You know, I'm just,
yeah,
when
right,
there are injustices being done around me, then I'm going to say something about it. Mm. And, mm, you know, my parents think probably it's some sort of genetic defect, but that's just who I am, and I'll always be this way.
Janet Hayes is with us, a candidate for Sheriff in Orleans Parish, and participated in our forum last night. Actually, the incumbent sheriff was there, and two other candidates running in that race as well. So we had four of the five candidates there, and we had a good turnout in this race. So tell us a little bit about your plan if you're elected sheriff, Janet.
Well, again, you know, a lot of people are wondering why a mental health advocate would want to run for sheriff, right? And so if you look at the makeup of the jail population, almost everybody in the jail has some kind of a mental health or a mental illness or a substance use disorder or a combination of all three. And so the reason that I'm running is because I have been working in the trenches for years now to bring solutions to government, to decision makers, on how we can stem back the tide of incarceration, homelessness, death, all of that, for people living with no fault brain diseases. You know, these are, we're talking about schizophrenia, bipolar, disease and major depressive disorder, that these diseases aren't preventable. And they're also not curable, but they are manageable with the right support, the right kind of treatment, the right kind of care. And, you know, I usually get greeted with interest and a pat on the back and thanks for doing what you do. And, you know, and then interestingly, they'll send families over my way when the families are in crisis. And because their problem goes away for them, for decision makers, they think it's being dealt with, but it's not being dealt with. What's happening is I'm getting calls from family members who are, you know, experiencing having their loved ones incarcerated because they have deteriorated to the point of being dangerous, which is what our mental health laws require. And so I can explain to the families that why the system is broken and why their loved one is incarcerated, which gives them some, you know, relief in that now they understand what's happening. And they're always grateful to that there's somebody actually listening that understands the problem. But getting something done about it is a whole other ballgame. And so I just have shared the tears with many families on the phone who are so grateful that there's finally somebody listening who gets it. But solving the problem needs leadership. And I'm running for sheriff because I want that title, not only to, you know, advocate to make the jail better, to hold people accountable, that leads to opportunity to help them be better citizens, but then also to work on both sides of the criminal justice system to change our mental health laws, to get people treatment before they're, before they have to be dangerous and commit a crime. It's just
Janet Hayes. Janet Hayes with us, Jeff Currier here at Ringside WGSO. Janet is running for sheriff in Orleans Parish. She's director of the mental health organization Healing Minds, NOLA, talking about her agenda here if elected and what you're going to do. And I'm thinking that a lot of people are probably listening to you and saying, wow, it sounds like it's a very important issue that she's bringing up and something that would definitely be good to see in a sheriff. And of course, you're taking on someone, Janet, who's a well-known incumbent, going to have a lot of money, the power of incumbency. How do you plan on tackling that?
Well, hey, I'll tell you what, the incumbent keeps, you know, I'm reading his ad saying proven leadership, proven management, proven all the proven. If he's so proven, why are we under consent decree? You know, I really feel that what we need is a leader who has the passion to get out there and advocate and, you know, take on the governor, take on the city, take on the mayor, take on the president. If there are things happening within the jail, you know, there are certain people who shouldn't be in our jail. And we need a leader who's going to talk about that and do something about it, not just say, yeah, they shouldn't be in our jail, but, you know, we're just going to make the jail better and I get paid and, you know, nobody's going to say anything. And so everything's just, we're going to go along to get along.
Yeah.
I mean, that's unacceptable, and I just really think it's time for new leadership. You know, I understand, like, Sheriff Guzman gets this problem. We've had lots of conversations. He's been at my meetings. You know, he knows what's going on. You know, people that come into the jail, they end up in solitary confinement because they refuse treatment because they don't know they're sick. You know, then they're warehoused there until they can get up to Jackson for competency restoration. You know, he knows that jails are not the right place for these people, but his solution is to build a bigger jail. I mean, so how does that even make sense? You know, and then
what about this? What about this new building? Yeah, what about this new building?
Well, the new building, right? So the phase three. So they're calling it a special needs facility or phase three. It's,
right.
You know, there's different terminology, and I mean, essentially, it's FEMA dollars that was allocated to the city after Hurricane Katrina for the buildings that the storm destroyed. And, you know, part of that was a facility for people with serious mental illnesses. And so that when the new jail was built, that facility was not incorporated into the design of the existing jail that we have now. So we need to do something with these people. We hadn't been able to find a solution, so the city leased space up at Lane Hunt Correctional Institution near Baton Rouge for some time. Then they renovated the temporary detention center to move them back here. And everybody's struggling about what to do with these. You know, about 20% of the jail population have serious mental illnesses. So it's a smaller population, but they're very expensive and they're very costly in terms of humanitarian economic cost. And so what to do? So the sheriff, I think rightly, is using the FEMA dollars meant specifically for these people who have very severe illnesses, committed felony offenses. Again, they've been pushed into this system by our mental health laws that require them to do these dangerous things.
Right.
It's not their fault. And so the jail, I believe that money does need to stay with this population, and I do believe they need to be in a separate facility and, you know, a phase three design. Fine. I just don't think it should be under the correction system. I think it should be under the jurisdiction of psychiatry, just like Jackson Hospital is up in East Feliciana. And so, honestly, if you take that FEMA money, you build a forensic / civil hospital in Parrish, now you're not only are you providing facility for Orleans residents and residents in the region to be able to get treatment here. That way, you know, your lawyers and your doctors and your family members don't have to run up and down the highway to Jackson 3 hours each way. Mm-hmm. And then you put it under the state, the Louisiana Department of Health have the East Louisiana Mental Health System. They've contracted with the Tulane Department of Psychiatry. They're the ones that are running the facility up in Jackson, Louisiana. And you don't hear about these tragedies at Jackson that we hear about in the jail because they know how to treat people with mental illness.
Okay. So Janet, hold that thought. Hold that thought because I'd like to continue.
How we're going to pay for it.
Okay. I'd like to continue the discussion, but we got to take a brief time out.
Yep.
We'll come back with more of our candidate for sheriff, Janet Hayes, with us for another segment. We'll talk about her plan. She's running for sheriff. Talk about what's going on now. Talking about this phase three facility that's been debated now for years. Mitch Landry was the one that announced it first back in 2017. And they're still battling about this whole thing. It's been in court, delayed, and lots of different opposition to it. And we're talking about a lot of other important issues in this race for sheriff. But right now, let's take a brief time out. Jeff Cruer with you. It's Ringside on WGSO, 990 AM, WGSO.com. We'll be right back. All right, one more segment with our special guest, Janet Hayes, director of the mental health organization Healing Minds NOLA, candidate for sheriff in Orleans Parish. The election is November 13th, and of course, a very important position. And we're very pleased to have Janet with us here this morning for a few more minutes. And Janet, welcome back.
Thanks so much, Jeff.
So we've been talking about this phase three. And so right now, where does phase three stand? I mean, the courts have ordered repeatedly that it has to be built, haven't they?
Yeah. The federal judges are saying that it needs to be built. The mayor continues to appeal. Unfortunately, her argument is not strong enough to stand up against the issue, just because the federal judges know more about the issue and the sheriff and the psychiatrist that work in the jail than the mayor does. I think she's got a huge fight on her hands if she's going to do that. However, if you get the sheriff and the forensic psychiatrist who work in the jail on side with building a hospital, which is what I'm proposing, I know there's support for that because I talked to them. That is how we're going to decriminalize this population. I mean, we have there's a lot of other pieces to the puzzle. Let's be real. But I'll tell you what, every time you tell me every time you give me a no, we can't do it, I'll find a way around your no. I have a history of doing that, right? And I mean, there's ways we can pay for the jail. We're paying three times as much as we pay community psychiatrists to this private contractor, WellPath. You know, if you put this, if you put these people in a hospital, you don't need WellPath anymore. You cancel that contract, now you've tripled your money. I mean, and then the sheriff can contract for laundry, for meals, for security. Now you're bringing money into the jail to increase deputy pay. Well, you get what you pay for. There are a lot of great people, deputies, who are working in the jail. Kudos to them. They're there because they want to be, and they have a lot of heart, and they want to do a good job. But they really should be getting paid more. But we can also bring in more well-trained deputies. And we need that. We know we're short law enforcement here.
Yeah.
So there's a lot more the sheriff could be doing that is not happening just by rearranging the way we spend our money.
Now here's what he says. I want to give you a chance to respond. Boy, he is claiming that he has taken the jail's population from over 6,000 prior to Katrina to less than 800. Saying that that's been a real positive and that he should be given credit also now for taking over, daily operation of the jail, which it had been under a federal consent decree since 2013. Although I guess overall the consent decree is still in place, right?
Yeah, it is. And I just want to say to that, you know, he didn't reduce. I mean, the reason the size of the jail was reduced is because Hurricane Katrina wiped out the jail. Those 6,000 beds, they, you know, the storm did permanent damage to the jail. We got into a conversation with the city about rebuilding the jail and how big it should be. There were activists that came to the table. I used to run with a lot of these groups. I divorced myself from them more recently because of their phase two nonsense. But, you know, they are the ones that really influenced the size of the jail. I don't think Marlon could have done that by himself. Sheriff Guzman, yes, the jail is still under a consent decree. He does have control back from now from the compliance director that was appointed by the federal government after the sheriff was deemed unable to manage the jail. And according to reports, the jail has now even started to backslide under his control again. So, you know, he's a great guy. I mean, I really like Sheriff Guzman. I think he really does is trying to do a good job, but I think he's being advised improperly. And we got a little cat drama going on in the background.
Mm-hmm. You and your animals, cats, dogs.
I know, I've got deputy dog. And I got to let him out so he can control the cats. But anyway.
right.
But so, you know, but so I think, again, we just need somebody in there who has the expertise, who has the track record of, you know, making change. I've done a lot on my own single-handedly. Imagine how much more I could do if I had title. And I want to just point out about the phase two. So, you know, you mentioned Mayor Landrieu, who had supported this phase three jail proposal, but he changed his mind later on and he said, no, we don't want to build a phase three. We want to retrofit the jail into the existing jail. And so it's called the phase two. So essentially they're saying, we'll renovate the existing jail and we'll just shoehorn all of our seriously mentally ill people into the existing jail, and then we'll take all the money, all the FEMA money, and we'll put it into a wellness center. Well, you know, two problems with that. Now you're taking money away from the population it was meant for. Not that we shouldn't deal with it. Not we should. We should have a wellness center. I have a plan for that too. But that money needs to stay with this population. And so now the other problem with that is the people who are advocating for this phase two jail are the people that are saying we shouldn't have a mental health jail. How can you advocate for a mental health jail as an alternative to a mental health jail? It's ridiculous. You have, these are the same people who really, in a lot of respect, are the problem, these activists who are saying,
right,
we can't do anything to interfere with a person's rights on the outside of the criminal justice system. They have the right to be sick. They have the right to, you know, deteriorate. They have the right to live in their own feces and urine and slobbering all over themselves on the street. We can't interfere. We just got to build trust with them. And the moment they trust us enough, then we'll get them into treatment as they're circling the drain. And so a lot of these folks end up becoming dangerous because of the deterioration. Then they end up in jail, and now you have these civil rights activists screaming that they shouldn't be in jail. Well, in a lot of respects, they're the reason they're there in the first place. So we need to get control of this conversation and our mental health laws. And I have a track record there, too. I got three bills passed last session. I did that.
You know a lot of this all...
I got legislators to introduce these bills. Yeah, we're doing meaningful stuff. People keep looking at me, but I need it. I need that title. I need a title or someone with title to work with me.
Yeah. And all these things are sort of connected together, aren't they, Janet? When you talk about the prison, the crime issue, mental health issues, a homeless issue. And it seems like the homeless problem here in New Orleans is just getting worse. I mean, it's exploding, it seems to me.
Yeah. As policymakers kind of whistle by these outdoor asylums saying, all we need is more housing for them. If we had more housing, then they wouldn't be homeless. I mean, you got to understand. It's chronic serious mental illness and substance use disorder addiction that drives homelessness, not the lack of housing. Sure, we need more affordable housing. I would love a more affordable home. But, you know, we're talking about people in psychiatric crisis. In a lot of ways, they're so cognitively impaired, they don't even know they're sick. And now you're expecting them to, you know, you go out and you talk to them and say, hey, I can help you and I can, you know, have a better life and I can get you, you know, money for your food and everything. I will put you in a home. They don't know what you're talking about. If we do not intervene to help these people, they will die, period. And, you know, we've got to stop this thinking about, we just need people to trust us. We need everybody, you know, people need to come to care voluntarily. It's like Alzheimer's disease, right? you know, we don't do this to people with dementia, which is a similar symptom in a lot of ways to symptoms of serious mental illness. We don't say, oh, you know, grandpa, you know, you want to live on the street, you know, you just want to wander around and whatever. We don't say, no, we're going to help you because we understand you right. have a disease. And we're going to get you the care you need, even though you don't want it. We know that if we leave you out here on your own, you're vulnerable to predators, or you may end up hurting somebody. I mean, this is ridiculous. We shouldn't have, a person shouldn't have to commit a crime to get treatment. And there shouldn't have to be a victim in order to get a person who needs treatment into treatment. Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime,
there's a victim.
As these problems aren't being dealt with, these camps just grow and grow and grow. And and it attracts more and more and more people. And
right.
problem intensifies. So
right. And there's, and we need, you know, the proper diagnosis of this problem is a lot of those folks need residential treatment. I mean, they need to be in long-term residential treatment and support with clinical supports on site, just like a nursing home or assisted living facility, until if and when we can get them to a point of functionality where we can step them back into community, step them down gradually, not drop them off a cliff. A lot of these people are in and out of the hospital. Acute
right.
care. All we have, like, we're overbedded in our region with acute care beds. There's all over the place. But here's the problem. When you have someone with a chronic illness and you're trying to push them through an acute care hole, you got a problem. Now you got backflow. These people just backflow back into the community. Police pick them up, take them back to the hospital, pick them up. I mean, this is where, and now we're saying we need to replace police with mental health workers, because apparently all of this is the police's fault. Are you kidding me? The police are doing what they need to do. The problem is that we have people who are need long-term care living in our acute care beds. You're not supposed to live in hospitals. Hospitals are where you get sick. Then you're supposed to be discharged into some sort of system, either inpatient or outpatient, to manage your long-term symptoms. We don't have that. So we have to get judges to order people to stay in hospitals longer. So, for instance, at University Medical Center New Orleans, they have 60 inpatient beds. They're all acute care beds. Probably 10 of them on any given day are being occupied by people who have been there 4 months or longer. Now you take those 10 beds offline. And so when the police bring somebody to the front door, they screen the ER and they need a bed. They can't get a bed at UMC. They have to find a bed somewhere else. And then the people that are living at UMC, the doctors can't discharge them because there's no long-term support hospital that we don't have enough beds. We have Central. They have about 100 or 150 beds. It's always full. Everyone knows someone's got to die at Central before you can get somebody else in there. And it's not just University Center of New Orleans. It's Northlake as well. I think Northlake have about 70 people living in acute care beds. Mm. This is insane. And then we wonder, we're looking at, we need a crisis intervention strategy task force that city council passed a couple of months ago to look at, now this is the problem. We're creating solutions for problems that don't exist. Instead of looking where the problems actually exist.
Janet, we are up against the clock, but you've really identified some very, very important issues. And boy, thank you for sharing your thoughts on these issues, and
thank you
for offering yourself to public service. How can our listeners get more information about your campaign?
Yeah, so you can go to my website, Janet Hayes, and Hayes is spelled H-A-Y-S. So Janet Hayes for forsheriff.com. And you'll be able to find all the information there that you need in order to contact me, and you'll also be able to access links to my Healing Minds and NOLA organization to see some of the other work that I've done.
Very good. Or just call
me and I'll let you know. And if there are any families out there in mental illness crisis, my heart goes out to you. We also have I started an assisted outpatient treatment corps with Judge Reese, which is another conversation, that it's really meant for, to assist families that have loved ones who won't stay on their medications, need to be on their medications. And so we have a specialty court that deals with that. So I can help out with that too.
Yeah. We should have a conversation about that on the air too, down the road. But now, we got to roll to a break. Thank you, Janet. Great to be with you. And thanks for coming last night. Janet Hayes with us, Jeff Cruer here. It's ringside on WGSO, 990 AM, WGSO.com. Let's get the latest update from Louisiana Radio Network. We'll be right back.